Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to the NS9 postgame show powered by Permane Brothers. My name is Anthony DiNardo. I'm your host. With me, we have our co-host, Neil. Neil, I'm way too excited for this Pirates victory.
Pirates lose 5-1. I was excited to go. Yeah, I was excited to go like earlier today. I'm like, I haven't been on in a while. This should be good. Jared Jones is pitching well. And then slowly just the excitement went down.
And I'll tell you. That two-run homer, man, it really – because, like, there was still a chance. I mean, Jared Jones was pitching pretty well today. It was a 1-0 game. When it was just a two-run RBI – I'm sorry, a one-run double, right? That was – okay, it's 2-0 at this point in time. But then when they reviewed it and it was ultimately the home run, it just felt like at that point in time, like, the way this game was going, there was no way this team was coming back to win.
It was not our night. It was not our night anywhere. Pirates fan, non-Pirates fan, who saw those home runs, like, I can't believe those were home runs. They didn't look like it. They kind of looked like regular fly balls that just kept carrying and carrying and carrying. And that really just sucks.
Honestly, I think, like, the players felt that way, too, the way they were looking at the baseball. Like, it just kept going and going and going. I mean, the one, Michael A. Taylor, if it was, like, just a foot, just, like, maybe a foot shorter, could have been a spectacular play by him. The other one, again, had to get reviewed. Everyone thought it was a double and it ended up being a home run. So, I mean, I guess, like, to go back to this game, the main story really was the bats weren't going at all. I mean, Ranger Suarez took the mound today for the Phillies. He made his lineup look incredibly stupid. you know, the team ended up with 7 hits. 3 of those came in the 9th inning. I mean, this basically had – they had 4 hits today coming into the 9th inning when at that time you're just throwing strikes to get out of this game. I mean, just no offense at all from this team.
It was bad. And, like, I'm to 2 minds about the offense. Like, on one hand, it's one of those things where, like, I am just tired of the Andy Haynes approach. Mm-hmm. I've been tired of it for a long time. And this is one of those games where, like, you're watching 2 strikes go by. And then we're already down and then we strike out. But on the other hand, Ranger Suarez was dominant today. Like, that was just some good pitching. Like, he was dotting the strike zone. He was attacking hitters. He was – sometimes you got to tip your hat.
Absolutely. They looked dumb, and we'll talk about them to a degree. But to Ranger Suarez's credit, he was on tonight. He was absolutely on. So kudos to him, but yes, you talk about the Andy Haynes approach, and honestly, like, for pretty much all the season now, granted, they've been scoring runs, so things are always going to look well, but, like, they've had a good approach. I feel they've really, like, they have been aggressive when needed. Like, they're still seeing a lot of pitches, right? But they're not watching the strike 3 go by. Tonight was much of that. Like, tonight's reminding you of everything that was happening last year that made you very frustrated about this offense. It just seems as if, I don't want to say stuck in the ways, but just you have to also have some in-game adjustments. When you see that umpire that's calling that strike 3 that close to the plate, you have to recognize that. You can't be arguing every time. Now, obviously, Kutch was the biggest proponent to that. I think he watched 3 strike 3s go by. Now, granted, that second at-bat, not his fault. That was a really good at-bat. That was a bad call. Jared Triolo did it. Cabrian Hayes did it. You know, you're going to go and argue and argue and argue it. And honestly, they were strikes too.
Yeah. No, they were just perfectly painted pitches. And most nights, you're not going to see pitchers paint the zone that well. Even the relievers, like Marte, also was dotting the edge of the plate. And sometimes, like, you're not going to hit those pitches. But you're right. The lack of adjustment or the one size fits all, I think, is what really bothers me, how every hitter takes the same approach now when they're not the same guy. You know, I'm not a hitting coach, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yes. So I just counted in total. They had 30 called strikes on them.
That's so many.
And again, like you can argue that like this is a team that sees a lot of pitches, and I get it. But tonight, like it was just counterproductive because they were legit strikes. They were just getting strike after strike, and you saw them in 14 punch out tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They were just going up to the plate and standing there. Mm-hmm. Either going back to the dugout.
Yeah.
That was it. That was it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the feeling was like, you know, like once you get Ranger out of the game, then you hit the bullpen, like that's when it's really game on. And then Marte and Nelson both strike out three batters. And so, yeah, I mean, I get it. Attrition's a thing. I'm not saying like there's merit to taking pitches. I don't want them like going out swinging crazy. But you also have to be able to adjust, like DiNardo said.
Right.
And we have zero ability to do that. And I don't know why.
Yeah, that was my biggest thing. Like I said, I'm not downplaying the approach this year, seeing pitches. I have really appreciated the way they look at the plate. Mm-hmm. But tonight, I just felt it was much like last year. I mean, it was basically everything we talked about with Jack Sawinski. But it did feed off to a lot of the lineup as well as last year. Like, you have to have some in-game adjustments, you know, and like pitches that are that close when you see the ump is calling them that way. You have to understand that and start swinging at those pitches because you know they're going to be called. You know, you can't be stuck in your ways and saying, well, I know that's a ball. But, and again, like, they weren't even balls. That's the thing. Like, if they were more of the ones that Kutch saw on his second plate appearance, you know, like you have some arguments. So those are also strikes. You have to, it is strike three. You have to protect that zone regardless. And if it's that close, you can't keep watching these pitches go by and by. And, you know, and again, like I don't want to really attack this man, but Kutch was a huge proponent of that. I mean, it just seemed like he wanted to go up there and take his base.
Yeah. It seemed, to Kutch especially, like he, it worked so well last year. Where there were at-bats where you could tell he was going up there and he was going to take a walk. It's not working too well this year. And he's seen, he still has not looked all that comfortable at the plate.
Right.
And he's a slow starter. But
yes. And that's why I don't really want to go at him yet.
Yeah. But that also means he shouldn't be hitting in the heart of the order. Like hitting four or five right now just isn't it. Like you see, Davis is being moved down as he should be. Cruz gets moved down against lefties. I don't understand why Kutch is there at the five spot.
That's fair. That's fair. And honestly, I don't really get him at the five spot, period.
I agree.
But with that being said, I'm with that too. I'm with that too. Like he is struggling. You have days off. Like he's struggling. Maybe it's, you know, Henry Davis is down there batting ninth. I'm not saying Kutch has to be ninth or eighth, but you know, there's Edward Olivares has looked really, really good. Maybe he should be fifth right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially against lefties.
Right. Yeah. So I get that.
Olivares is like the one good offensive player from tonight, really. Cause he was the one guy, like you can talk about all the taking pitches and stuff like that. But the biggest thing is that when we did make contact, we also didn't hit the ball very hard. Like it was a whole lot of weak ground outs and pop ups and like nothing really clicked tonight. And that's something I've been like concerned about a little bit all year, but tonight it really shone through. And Olivares is the only guy who was attacking and hitting Suarez hard.
Yeah. His first two plate appearances were really, really good. He did get that hit. The first one, I think it had like expected batting average, like 700 around there. I mean, it was a fly out. It was a hard hit. It's baseball. Like it happens. There's nothing against that, but like, yeah, he looked good and he dropped down a bunt to get a hit towards the end there. So, yeah, I mean, he's been looking really, really good. I'll absolutely give him that. He has been looking really, really good at the plate. But again, the story for the most part tonight, the offense just didn't look good. Mm-hmm. I also just want to kind of point to Cruz. He had a nice at bat there. You know, that when he got that bloop single towards the end of the game, you know, what I saw from him was talk about adjustments that the first strike that he swung at. I mean, he was aiming for, I mean, he wanted to hit that to New York. Yeah. He wanted to hit that to state of New York, which is fine. Like, he has that power, game-changing power. But then he laid off. Right? He saw strike two go by him, whatever. Mm-hmm. And strike three, he changed his approach. He took what was given to him, and that's what I've been seeing more and more from him. Now, he still has the strikeout problem. I think he's like hovering around 37% right now on his last strikeout of the game. Like, mm-hmm. that's still somewhat concerning. He's still productive overall. Like, he's batting like almost 300 now at this point. Like, he's still productive. Mm-hmm. But what I am looking from him, we talk about approach. He is kind of taking what's given to him. So kudos to that.
Yeah, no, and Cruz has been, you know, the strikeouts are always going to be a problem. You know, I don't think there's ever going to be a spot where he's under 30% for a lot. You know, like, that's just who he is. But yeah, no, he has been being smart, and he's been smart. And I like that he's not swinging for the fences every single time. Like you said, he's able to poke hits. He's able to go opposite field when he needs to. I think most of his hits are to the opposite field.
Yeah.
But honestly, I just like that he just looks way more comfortable against lefties this year. Not that he's hitting home runs off of them, but like, you're not thinking automatic out against a left-handed hitter. But true. Yeah. And he hasn't been like, you know, superstar levels, but he's been perfectly fine, I think, at the plate this year.
Right. Yeah. Again, though, the strikeouts are a little bit concerning right now. But I have liked his approach to this point. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Outside of that, I mean, we could talk about offensive, like, player by player. It was just bad overall. Do we want to move on from that and talk about something a little more positive?
We could. I mean, unless you really want to like start sounding alarm bells on Henry Davis, but I don't think there's anything new to say about him. So I'm going to go into the good stuff.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm trying not to be too negative, so we can skip Henry Davis.
Yeah, well, the thing is, again, like, you talk what's given to you. This game, the offense just was non-existent. Like, it just didn't show up today. And again, credit to the Philly staff and Ranger Suarez mainly, right? Like, he looked really, really good, but they didn't do their job tonight. Now, granted, they really weren't. I don't know if they would have won this game anyways, the way, you know, the Phillies came intact at the end there too. And Jared Jones, like, I want to definitely talk about him. I felt like, at least to start the game, his stuff wasn't really all there.
No.
He kind of fought through it, and then he got into his groove. And I don't know, Neil, like, this is his third start in the majors. This is a guy who, I think, I don't want to question him, like, you know, we didn't see him as a starter, but like, I think there was question marks about him. Can he be a true starter in MLB? For one, how efficient can he be? Can he go deep into games? You know, like, how effective is this stuff really? He is just checkmarking box after box after box. And I get this is another game where he gave up 3 earned runs, you know, another home run, 4 home runs now in 3 games. Mm-hmm. That's becoming a little bit concerning if you want to feel concerned about him for some degree. But Neil, this kid looks, it's 3 games. Just allow me to say this right now. He looks special.
He does. I am not in the least bit concerned about Jared Jones. You know, his location was really bad in the first inning, and he got away with it. Like, he was hit, and he was hit hard. The Phillies were aggressive. His fastballs were being grooved down the middle of the plate. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, these are the kind of starts that happen when you're a young pitcher with a flamethrower pitcher with shaky location. But no, the way that he just grinded out the next 5 innings was really good. Like, you know, I think I said at the top, but those home runs, I think the home runs he's given up outside of one haven't really been like those like tank shots that really concern you. I think that was bad luck for him tonight. Maybe that's just me hoping. Maybe that's just me, like, you know, trying to deal with it. But no, he was great, you know. And the biggest thing for me was that his changeup and his slider were working. Usually he's been blowing people away with his fastball. Tonight it was his breaking stuff. And that was really cool. Like, his slider was giving the Phillies fits.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think I don't want to say this is the biggest thing. I mean, the biggest thing is obviously the swing and miss stuff that he has. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. But like the things that you see from him, just the way he goes out there and competes. Like I was trying to think about this. I didn't really put out there on Twitter because I felt like I might look or sound silly, especially this early in the game when I was thinking about it. But it's like, when's the last time that you saw a Pirates pitcher, a starting pitcher, put it that way, because relievers are all psychotic, so they're going to. Mm-hmm. But when's the last time that you saw like a Pirates starting pitcher that just came out there and was like, I am going to kill all of you. You're all mine. I own every one of you, and we're going to compete. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, like he gets frustrated himself, like in a good way. And that's also the thing too. Like he doesn't get frustrated himself and implode, because some people can't deal with that. He gets frustrated himself. Like he wants every single pitch. He wants to win every single pitch. Mm-hmm. And when was the last time you saw that from a starter with the Pirates? Like I'm trying to think.
Garrett,
the competitiveness in this guy.
It's Garrett.
Talk about people that you don't want to bet against. That's Jared Jones to me right now.
Yeah. I think someone mentioned on Twitter, like they enjoy how mad he gets even when he throws an uncompetitive ball.
Yeah.
Like you can see him just get like really frustrated and be like, all right, this is like, his attitude is the biggest thing. Like, I think I mentioned the last time I was on, but you could not tell that Heath gives up a home run because he immediately goes back in and starts attacking again. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know if I would have sent him out for the seventh. I get why they did that. I think, you know, you're kind of playing with fire, but no, I mean, everything has been great. Not everything, but you can't expect more than what Jared Jones has given us in three starts.
I never would have imagined this. Absolutely. You can say that. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely fair to say. I don't think there was anyone that was expecting this.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. What's that?
Even with the spring training, everyone was excited. No one would have anticipated him coming out and being this electric with the stuff.
Right. Absolutely. And again, like you see the stuff, you see what he has. And now, like the first time was the Marlins, right? Mm-hmm. You saw the 21 whiffs at that time. And it was like, holy hell. But it's the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it was the Orioles.
Yeah.
Now it's the Phillies. You know, so like two out of three has been actually really, really good lineups.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still doing it. You know, and like you said, that was the other thing. Like, I think that's when I was thinking this, or maybe not, but like when he gave up the home run to Alec Bohm. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, it was a single shot. It was a home run. It was a wall scraper. Of course, it was in the deep part of the park. But still, you know, like you said, it wasn't like this crushed baseball. That's the one thing you want to take from these home runs. Okay, you can say that. Still four home runs, though. Mm-hmm. But he came right back and struck out Marsh for the second time. Like you said, like he's just not fazed. Mm-hmm. Nothing fazes him. And that's why I say also, like, there are guys that get frustrated themselves and then they implode.
Mm-hmm.
He gets frustrated, like, in a positive way. This is unacceptable. I'm going to attack you again, and I'm going to win. Every single pitch, he competes, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. No, and I 100% agree. And I just think the home runs, and I'm not the first person to say that, but when you talk about the pitchers he's comp to, which is crazy that he's already getting comp to like Spencer Strider in the first place, home runs are just going to be a thing. You know, Garrett Cole right now, when he was as best as a Yankee, gives up a lot of home runs. Jacob DeGrom himself even gave up home runs. When you throw the stuff that they have and hitters connect, it's going to go a long ways. So, and honestly, home runs per nine is like a really fluky stat. So if that's like the one thing we're worried about and everything else under the hood looks good, we're in a good spot, especially for a rookie guy who I can't really imagine that we're talking about him this way. Like at this point in the season, for someone who wasn't even projected to make the opening day roster, you know, I can't bring myself to get upset about anything about him.
No, you can't. You can't get upset. And that thing is too, like, he goes six innings and gives up three.
Mm-hmm.
he did enough to keep your team into the game. You know, like you should not think that, okay, it's three runs in six innings where we're done. Mm-hmm. We're toast. That shouldn't be a thing. You know? So like he went 6.1 today and gave up three earned runs. Okay, like he was doing better than that. You know, you felt like it's still three earned runs. That's what he gave up, but he pitched well. And like he pitched well enough that you still have a chance. And this is also a team that's been averaging about six runs, you know, a game on the year so far. So now granted, tonight was not their night, and this was not a night they were coming back and doing it. But again, like that's not like some insurmountable lead that, hey, we're down 3-0, we're done. Sure, the Pirates of 2020, 2021, 2022, you know, and then the dog days of summer of 2023. Absolutely, you're cooked. But what we've seen from this offense so far and the confidence from this offense, like this game isn't over. Mm-hmm. You hand the ball over to Colin Holderman and hope he, you know, continues with this and you still have a chance. Now, that's not what happened tonight. Colin Holderman comes back off the IL today and he gives up a 2-run shot. So, like, it's done. But, yeah, like what you saw from Jared Jones tonight, this team was still in the game. The other thing I want to talk about is you say about, like, the type of pitcher, like the Spencer Striders and the home runs and stuff like that. You're absolutely correct. Like, he has given up 4 home runs. Again, that's something I'm watching. It's 3 games. It's so early. It's small sample, right? But so far, if there's something you're concerned about with them, if you're going to talk about, that's the one thing you're going to talk about. But the positive of that, it's been very limited damage in that. Why? Well, just like you said, it's a 1-run shot. It's a 2-run shot. You know, the solo shots he's had so far. And again, with that, 18 innings pitched so far. 18 innings, Neil. 15 hits, just 2 walks. Again, we talked about, is he a reliever, a starter? Like the control of the walks was an issue for him that you're kind of concerned about. This guy's not walking anybody.
No, he's
18
not.
18 innings, he's only given up 17 base runners. He has a whip under a 1.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like to your point, the home runs aren't truly as concerning as other pitchers because guys just simply aren't on when he gives them up.
Yeah, and one of, like, I was concerned about the location. Like, I think I said, like, I would have been okay if the Pirates decided that he needed some time in AAA to, like, feel out his pitches. I honestly would have been fine if they, like, because he's just so young, but he's efficient. For how many swings and misses that he gets, he is an insanely efficient pitcher. I mean, he was going out there, and I think before, like, the 7th inning, and he was at 75, I forget what he ended on, but he was around 70 pitches after 6 innings, and that's not just one time. He was doing that.
I think it was 72.
Yeah, 70. That was consistent. I think it was Orioles and in the Marlins game. Like, he not only is getting batters out, he's getting batters out fast. He's not letting people on, but he's not walking people. That's a huge thing. It's great. Like, you know, I don't have enough good things to say about him, even with the ERA not being great.
Still serviceable.
Yeah, he is blowing away any and all expectations I had.
Again, put it in perspective. I mean, you talked about what we expect from Jared Jones. If Jared Jones pitched 150 innings this year and had a 4 ERA, how are you feeling about Jared Jones, his rookie year?
At this point, that might be a little disappointing.
If I were to tell you on March 1st, Jared Jones would pitch 150 innings, right? Yeah. And he'll have a 4 ERA. How would you feel?
I would take that every day of the week, 100%.
So that's what I'm getting to right here, too. It's like, and again, it's 3 starts, a 4 ERA. He's, in my eyes, pitching better to that, but that's what he has right now. We'll see what happens. But if he had a 4 ERA, no Pirates starter had better than that last year. He's the ace of last year's team.
Yeah.
And that's Mitch Keller and Johan Oviedo. So
looks better than, I guess he's not the ace of this year's team right now, because I'm having to eat my words about the current ace, but it looks better than the guy we just gave a whole bunch of money to.
He is. Still, I'm also holding my breath. It's early for him too. Early for a lot of guys. I don't want to get too hyped about Jared Jones yet, but man, like I said, he's shown me a lot, and that's why I said I'm saying it right now. To what I've seen so far, there's a lot of specialness to him that I am finding, and I can't talk enough good things about him. Also, again, just just the makeup, just what you're seeing. Again, the biggest thing to me, obviously, again, is his stuff. His stuff is one of the best in baseball right now to this point. You know, that's what was talked about in spring training, like you're talking about. That's why he's getting comp to Spencer Strider already.
Yeah.
He was doing this, you know, after his first start in the majors. This isn't something that's like come up to and let, like, it's just three starts in, and these comps have been happening for like three games now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's reasons that national people are looking at this saying, oh, hold up, wait a minute. Let's check in on this kid because there's something here, you know, and he's kind of showing it you it game after game. And it's like every time Jared Jones on the mound, it's like must see TV to a degree.
Yeah. No, it made what was a rather boring game excitable. it was kind of like, all right, I'm kind of checked out. I'm gonna look at what the Penguins are doing. And then as soon as the Pirates went out, I was back and watching Jared Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. He is really fun to watch, man. Well, with that said, I know we said we can keep going on. We probably shouldn't. But yeah. Is there anything else that you really wanted to talk about with this game?
I mean, not really, unless you're concerned about Holdermann, because he wasn't great, but he's also recovering from the disease, like the flu I gave him. So,
right. Yeah, that's your fault. What do you feel about him, sir?
Well, like I said, I warned you guys, so I don't, it's actually your fault.
Why is it my fault? I feel like 50 Cent. What did I do?
I put out the warning that I was.
Oh, because we allowed you to come?
Yeah.
Fair enough. No, I guess to kind of touch on that. Yeah, it's his first appearance. If you're going to give up a two-run inning, let it be the one that you're losing and couldn't come back from. Not the one that you were winning. I guess that's my only take right now.
Yeah.
It's a little concerning that, you know, like Bednar and Holdermann here now. And like you saw Holdermann, he didn't look that sharp. But again, it's his first time. Maybe that gets out the way. He looks better the second time. But you want more good pitchers in the bullpen?
Yeah. I mean, my one thing is that it just doesn't feel like it's any different from last year's Holdermann. Where you're on the edge of your seat waiting for something bad to happen. Because that's just the way he pitches. He gives up a lot of base runners and sometimes it implodes. And I'm not sure that's what you want from a long-term eighth inning guy. You know,
that's fair.
That's actually the only thing.
And if this person's listening or in the chat, because I don't even know who was really talking about, but I saw it. Like, this is any disrespect or like shots at you. I saw someone talking about Bednar, like on last show, how, you know, like it's hard to trust him. This goes back to like even last year, like he has those moments to give up. And I disagree with that. But Holdermann, I do. Holderman's been the type where like he hasn't truly put it together. You see things in him and that leaves you positive and think like, okay, maybe something get unlocked here. But he hasn't truly shown you that you can be completely comfortable with him being like that setup guy, which again is why I was good with the Aroldis Chapman signing, you know, in regards to like strengthening this bullpen to do that. Like there's still some concerns and unknowns in this bullpen that brings a sure guy. You have Bednar, you have Chapman. Holdermann should be able to be good, you know, and he does it in spurts, but he does have these moments where he doesn't have a good outing and he does something like this. So you're absolutely correct. I guess, again, the way I look at it more is it was just one inning, his first time out. I can't take this to say a yes or a no, or, you know, was it definitive or not. It's one outing from him
for sure.
I'm just happy he did it when they were down 3-0 opposed to being up 5-1.
Yeah, no, it was a good time to implode if there ever was one, but because I think you could have given this offense 20 innings and I think they would have scored maybe 2 runs. So,
yes, I don't know. It might have still just been one. One in the 20th inning just to get through it.
So I don't mean to say like, oh, it's over. Holderman's washed, but he would just like to see those steps made. He's just one of those guys where like the stuff is so good that it's frustrating that it doesn't work out.
Right. That's fair. All right. Well, other than that, I really don't have too much to say either. No sandwiches. Sorry, guys. Maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow, though, as Ryan said here in the chat, alluded to, it's Bailey Falter on the mound versus Christopher Sanchez. Neither are that strong pitchers. Maybe the offense comes alive. Maybe the Pirates come alive just a little bit more. But, you know, it is Bailey Falter revenge game. Bailey Falter did have a gem of a game last time out. So, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe there's something happening on Bailey Falter's side here to give him a little edge for the Pirates' victory. But, yeah, not two marquee names in this matchup.
I will be watching, but I'll be nervous. After seeing the Phillies hit three home runs tonight, I'm just like kind of seeing Falter start tomorrow, and worse thoughts are coming to my head.
It's all right. If they have five home runs, as long as the Pirates maybe have six or seven.
Exactly.
I don't know if they will, but hopefully. With that said, Tyler and I will be on the post game. So, yeah, we'll both be very nervous also watching this game tomorrow. But I guess let's get out of here. As always, appreciate everyone for watching. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.